It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
It's bigger than ever.
The Bob and Tom Show. Chip McGee is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Still to this day, people don't know that I do, Mr. Obvious.
Oh.
But it's absolutely the truth. All I got to do is pop it up to right here. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Mr. Obvious Show. I am your host, Mr. Obvious. Hammer and Nigel are here.
The weirdest happy I've ever had is that, you know, Joe Theismann texts me Happy Father's Day, you know, which is,
and I'm like, surreal?
Yeah,
that is,
it's
outstanding.
Like, you know, I'm thinking, wow, that's really cool. And then it's quickly followed by, wow, did I cuss you like for 4 years? Throw the ball, Joe. What the hell's your problem?
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, live from Coach's Tavern.
All right, we'll get this rolling here in just a second. Downtown Indianapolis. Here we go. It is the Hammer and Nigel Show. Coach's Tavern, 28 South Pennsylvania Street. Just a stone's throw away from the field house. I'm Hammer. Big Nige is here. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing real well, man. Little guy back at home. He was sick last week. He's all recovered.
Nice.
I'm sleeping again. It's you know.
Did you do any of the Halloween festivities with the little one? Did you take him out at all?
No, we had little critters come to our door, and my wife and him answered the door in his Superman outfit. I generally don't like people coming up to my door. I don't do garage sales. I don't like strangers coming to Halloween.
You're like a fat pussy version of Clint Eastwood. You don't want punks on your yard.
Get off my lawn, punk. That's my Clint Eastwood.
Yesterday, I was pretty upset because we were all excited. The boys, for the first time, correlated their costumes. We were going to be Mario and Luigi, both of the Mario brothers. You know, Christopher was ready to go, had his Mario outfit on. Day of Halloween, Jacob gets sick. And he's throwing up all over the place, and it's just an absolute hot mess, and he doesn't get to go. But luckily, Big Bubby was that kid that took the extra candy bag out and said, my brother's sick.
So that's sweet.
Can you give me some more?
That is sweet. Are you guys sound coming out of your earphones now? Are we all good? We all good? All right.
It's a big night.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
and
cool.
It made me feel good as a dad. But still, I was heartbroken because, I hate seeing the kid not be able to go out on Halloween. That's a big deal.
That is a huge deal. And for, you know, those Halloweens, you know, there's not many more of them left. They're getting big, man.
I know, and that's, you know, I teared up a little bit, honestly, because I'm thinking, man, this is might be the only year, maybe 1 year left, where the boys are going to go out together. Because there's a big age difference there.
I bought about $40 worth of candy and
ate about 37 of it.
Ate about $37 worth. Well, no, we didn't have very many trick-or-treaters in our neighborhood.
We did pretty well.
But I didn't even answer the door. I let my wife and the kid.
You did buy the good stuff, right, though. You weren't passing out miscellaneous rock candy or, you know, licorice or toast or anything like that?
I had here, kid. Here's your toast. Happy Halloween.
I say that because I got that 1 year.
You got toast in your Halloween bag?
Yeah. It wasn't even warm. It didn't have butter on it or anything. Just a nasty-ass piece of toasted bread. Boom. Here your kids go. But
I haven't gotten any sleep this week. I was filling in for Todd, our boss, at X103 the past 3 mornings.
Now, what's his deal?
Some bleeding coming out of the genital area.
Oh, well. That'll happen sometimes.
He was back on the air today.
Which is ironic, because normally he's a pain in our ass. This time, he's got a pain in his crotch. Funny how that karma tends to work out sometime. Before we get rolling tonight on a big election preview special, big announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a brand new sponsor here on the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Thanks to our new sales aficionado, Mr. Kenny Britt, the good folks at Goody's Cupcakery in New Whiteland are now on board.
Oh.
Nigel, they are the official bakery of the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Send me some red velvet cupcakes, please. Love the red velvet.
Why
yes, April.
Cupcakes?
What?
I'm the queen of cupcakes. Why didn't you bring me cupcakes?
Get in there in that microphone. Do we got April's microphone on there? BS?
Jack her up just a little bit. But April D. Gregory is here. Chris Spangle is here for our big election preview.
Do we have to call you April D. Gregory every time we refer to you? Like in full? Like April D. Gregory, would you like a drink of water? April D. Gregory, do you need to use the bathroom?
April D. Gregory, I really like that shirt you're wearing.
April D. Gregory, are you menstruating? Do I have to say your full name, or can we just go with April?
You can just go with April.
April D. Gregory, have you ever blown $500 on a hooker?
or twice.
There we go. Going back to our Vegas exploits of
it was legal
2 weeks ago.
Okay, it was legal.
She didn't have to put $500 down. She was doing it for free.
Are there such things as male gigolos? I mean, you see it in the movies,
like
all
Deuce
the time,
Bigelow.
You know? Yeah, yeah. But like, are there really such a thing as like a?
I think so.
Like a woman's gonna pay a guy to come over to her house and have sex with him.
April, would you?
Where do you find this person?
Usually New Jersey, right?
Yeah. Nouveau.
Nouveau, Craigslist, or New Jersey. One of the three. Those are the places where you're gonna find that kind of action. But again. Goody's Cupcakery, the official bakery of the Hammer and Nigel Show.
That's awesome.
Give them a call, 300-8383. Now, April, you came in...
It says 8333.
8333.
You said 8383.
Oh, I'm sorry. 8333. Boom. You came here tonight in one of our other sponsors, Circle City Transportation. How was that?
It was a wonderful ride.
Now, Ernie was here, right? Ernie took care of you, right?
Ernie did. He was great. Waited for me at home and... Had to finish putting my makeup on.
Now, when you say waited for you at home, like came when he was supposed to, right? He wasn't like watching you sleep or got there a little early. Or
he got there a few minutes early.
All of a sudden, his face rose up from a window.
Did you come up 56th Street or did you get
we came
get
up 74.
Oh, okay, 74. So, see, if I would have known, because her hometown, I don't want to say where you live because I know you have a lot of people that hate you. But I would have hopped a ride in a limo because that's kind of on my way. On the way.
You're not invited into the Circle City Transportation limousine.
I can't come, even if it's like on the
Neither
way.
One of us have ever been in one of them. No. We've seen all of our guests arrive in them. Perfect, fantastic style, though. IndyChickenLimo.com, Circle City Transportation. They've got stretch limos, the chicken limo, anything you need. We've got their information on our website at HammerandNigel.com. All right, April, Chris, let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. We're just about a few days away here from the election. You've got President Barack Obama. You've got Mitt Romney. And I don't know a whole lot about this political thing. I know enough to vote. I'm not that idiot that's undecided at this point. But correct me if I'm wrong. This is what we know. According to Barack Obama, everything is George Bush's fault. And according to Mitt Romney, there's these big binders full of women.
Right.
Now, where do we go from here?
What's wrong with a binder full of women?
That's what I'm saying. Where can I get a copy?
I don't get that. What? There's a big binder full of women. What's that mean?
Never mind. Chris.
It's the new version of the Little Black Book. And if you have a binder
full
of women...
You haven't watched any of the debates, have you?
No, no. Hell no.
It was a funny way of saying that he has hired women in the past, and it turned into an internet meme. Okay.
And he has a lot of women's resumes and repertoire.
He's got binders full of women.
Binders full of women.
So when you go to vote, and you must have registered, again, as I asked like last time, how specific do you want? Do you want Tommy specific, or do you want like Nigel specific?
Give me Nigel specific tonight.
Let's just go more Nigel speed. Right.
So if you've registered to vote, you can vote. You had to have registered back in October. And then you go in and you have three choices on your ballot. You have Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians. For president, you have Barack Obama, Democrat, Republican Mitt Romney, Libertarian Gary Johnson. And
wait, what? Ron Paul is not on the ballot?
Nope, Ron Paul is not even a write-in. And
what happened with that guy?
I thought he was supposed to win, Chris Spangle.
I know.
What happened?
Well,
he seems like everybody's crazy uncle. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah.
I like him. I like him.
He's a cute old man, but he is.
And just for
he
the listeners' sake,
he doesn't need to be president. He needs a store. He's a cute old man.
April D. Gregory is a Republican, and I am a Libertarian, so that's why she's picking on me about Ron Paul.
I'm a conservative Libertarian.
Right. And
a conservative Libertarian. Now, what does that even mean, April?
Right.
You don't know. Okay.
Right. And so
I'm more conservative and Libertarian.
You will have choices for president. For United States Senate, for governor, for House of Representatives, and then you will have State House, maybe State Senate, and then some more local races.
What are you going to do, April B. Gregory? You just going to go party ticket all the way down, or you going to make some choices?
Are you going straight red, or are you going to cross over a little
you
bit?
You going to give us an L?
Come on.
Come on now.
You're
is there an L in the future?
Rupert for governor? Come on now.
Get in that microphone now. Don't be afraid to get in there.
Pretend like you're on a date with Marcus and put this big black thing in your face.
In my district, there are not L's available on all of the...
There's not what?
But I will...
Libertarians are not available
in
all races.
I will not be supporting Gary Johnson, if that is what you're asking me right now.
I just want to get this out of the way, because this Murdoch guy, who I've never heard of this Murdoch guy before this year.
Now, he was the guy from Airplane, right? Murdoch? Was that her? Or was he an A-team?
A-team.
Both. Okay.
A-team. I've never... he's the guy, Hammer, that said, you know, God intended for you to have an abortion.
Pregnancy from rape. God intended that.
Now look, I know that's not what he meant.
Right.
I know that's not what he meant. But at the same time, that's why people hate Republicans. That's why, you know, just what a stupid ass thing to say.
Well,
I just, you know.
Unless you are a medical doctor, a 60-year-old white man should not be talking about rape.
Well,
he shouldn't be talking about God and what he thinks God intends.
It was at a debate where all three candidates are pro-life. Why was the question even asked? These are the stupid kind of questions that come up about abortion. Why do we need to ask that in a debate
about
the economy?
People are stupid as a whole, and I think we can all agree on that. So I'm not even mad at the question, though.
So I think
just
no, I'm not laughing at you, Matt. Just
Chris Spangles, libertarian candidate for Senate, did a very good job of summing it up. You know, he agreed with Richard with what he said and said, you know, I don't. He realizes it was. He said, when you're in the spot like that, and your lights are on, you're getting rapid fire questions, and you just start talking and talking. And
It's more difficult to be a candidate, and especially to do a televised debate, than people think. And
right.
So you have to give some credit. So it was an incredibly stupid move trying to explain the existence of God, how life is created, and wrap it in the most divisive issue of our time.
Definitely should have just stopped talking.
And for the most part, you guys know me, and I've said this on the show before, I lean very right. I'm not 100%, but I'm very close to being that way. But again, you can't blame a stupid question on a stupid answer. If I went to a debate and I said, excuse me, Mr. Pence, how smelly is your diarrhea? I wouldn't expect him to go into detail about how smelly his diarrhea was. I mean, you've got to use more common sense than that.
And that's why I look at it and I go, you just had to say you're a pro-life. You didn't have to go on and talk about exceptions or anything like that. And he just was totally ill-prepared, and it's just another failure by his team.
But that is not to say his view is not the same, or not the same view as the majority of Hoosiers. So keep that in mind.
But you just can't say it, though. I mean, that's the difference. Now, he was, correct me if I'm wrong, leading in the polls, and then that happened, then it's almost nip and tuck now, right?
And
is it the who's his competition, the Donnelly guy? The guy that keeps on, I see that ad more than ever. Buchanan said that God intended rape? Every 5 minutes.
Richard
I'm watching
Murdoch is a son
he's
of a bitch.
He's politicizing rape, and that's disgusting.
Well, I mean, whatever, but it's I'm not that stupid to pretend.
There's the quote of the 9BS. There's the promo. He's politicizing rape. Nigel. Eh, whatever. Gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit?
I know that's not what he's trying to say. I've never even heard of the guy
before. He was trying to say that every life is precious and God intends for every life to be created, even in the worst of circumstances. But even I didn't say that articulately, and I wouldn't say it in a debate. He's flat out.
And how do you know what God intends?
Right.
How do you know? You got a hotline?
Right.
He's a Republican, and that's God's home team.
You're not running for pastor. Be quiet.
Yeah. Now, before we go on a tangent here, I want to keep this like till the end of the show. At the end of the show, it's going to be like college game day. We're going to do predictions, and when it comes down to the president, one of you guys is going to put on wacky headgear and predict who's going to win the election. So give us any winners until the end of the show. That's all I'm asking.
I want to be Ted Kennedy.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't even know if I'm going to vote. I just don't even know.
Nice,
well,
you're going to vote. Come on now.
I'm not voting for
Obama. It gives
you
the green light to bitch and be a son of a bitch if you vote.
I'm not going to vote for Obama. I don't really
want
to vote for Mitt Romney, and I don't have the balls to vote for this Johnson guy.
You don't want to waste your vote and vote libertarian.
Come on now. The Liberty Movement
not voting is still a vote for Obama, so you're still saying...
No,
conceding to four more years of this.
Romney's
going to
get Indiana. Romney's going to get
Indiana. He's going to get Indiana.
What's your philosophy on that again? If you don't vote, it's a vote for Obama? What do you mean by that?
I mean, you're still conceding. We know in this election, not in Indiana, obviously, but in other in other states, the vote is crucial. Every vote counts. You know, Ohio, where it's close, and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, where it's really, really close right now. If you're not voting or you're voting for the Libertarian, you know, that's conceding to, hey.
Well, that's just, frankly, horse crap.
Really?
It's not horse crap.
Yes.
Hey, look, Romney and
Obama.
If you are
voting for a Libertarian, you're not voting for Barack Obama. You're voting for the Libertarian. You're not... You know,
taking a vote away from the person that could actually win the race.
On the actual ballot right now for Libertarian, it says some guy.
No, it says Gary Johnson and Judge Jim Gray.
Some dude.
And if you're voting for Libertarians, you're not voting for the status quo. If you're not happy with either of your two choices, you're voting for a change
in
the norm.
There's no one that should hate the president's overreach government policies more than libertarians.
But the problem,
but you're going to concede and say, okay, I'm okay with 4 more years of this by voting for a libertarian.
But the problem is that Mitt Romney is full of crap. And that when you look at the results of a Republican president and you look at the results of a Democratic president, they're not any different. When you look at results,
when you look at the results of when he was governor of Massachusetts,
right? He instituted socialized medicine just like Barack Obama did. I mean, you really have no record to defend when it comes to
Mitt Romney.
You
can look at his record from when he's governor of Massachusetts. You can look at their budget. You can look at their jobs. You can look at all those things and show that he is a successful businessman. No one can deny that this man is a successful businessman.
I mean, he really doesn't have an impressive record.
Would it be the end of the world, the worst possible thing, if a really good businessman became president,
right,
though, at the end of the day?
Right.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Instead of a community organizer?
Gary Johnson started a handyman service and took it to the largest construction company in the Southwest. He went on to be a two-term governor of New Mexico. He's not just some guy.
And he owns a couple great Ace Hardware stores, right?
He is actually an
accomplished... I'm making shit up now.
I know. What are you, a Republican?
Now, okay, April, do people that say that Obama and Romney are basically the same thing, do they have a leg to stand on at all?
No, that's absolutely absurd.
Okay.
Right, because they say different things, but when they actually become president, they do the exact same thing.
Mitt Romney has a lifetime full of experience. He has worked in the public sector. He has worked in the private sector. He's an successful businessman.
He's had sex with who?
That's what it sounded like.
His wife, and that is it. There were no hookers.
But he's Mormon. Does he have more than one wife? I don't know. These are questions people need to know.
See the magic underwear.
Dum 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 dum.
Okay, no, so they are different as night and day. You can choose if you want 4 more years of what we have right now, or you want to try a different course. We see this is not working.
Now, did these debates that we've all watched have any effect on what's going to happen on election day? Has anybody changed their mind from what they've witnessed from these three different styles of debates that we've seen, Chris?
It really comes down to what you believed going into the debate. If you, you know, the debates are really good for encouraging the base. Republicans get excited by the performance of their candidate. Democrats get excited by the performance of their candidate and want to work harder. Independents, a lot of times, it's really hard to figure out why an independent votes the way they do. They may be turned off by the way one candidate says something, or they may be turned off by the fact that they yelled at each other. It's really, you know, debates only really matter in a significant way when you have what happened to Richard.
Well, in the media world that we live in, sometimes it's all about the soundbite that you hear. And BS, do we have a debate highlight ready to go? Let's get a Hammer and Nigel debate highlight, and you'll know what I'm talking about here. As BS gets it ready. Look who just walked in. Abdul just walked in. Look at that sharp-dressed man down there, ladies and gentlemen.
He just met Woodward and Bernstein.
He did.
He never leaves his house without a tie.
That's like what he dresses down for on, like, post-Thanksgiving dinner. That's about as dressed down as you'll ever see Abdul.
Regarding their debates, I will say one thing. Prior to the first debate, Mitt Romney was down in the polls, and I think it really helped him gain momentum once it was he clearly thumped Obama in that debate. So that was definitely a momentum changer for him.
Abdul, if you're
get
just
Black
joining
Marcus
us,
over here to get another chair for
April
us, by the way.
April thinks Republicans are awesome, and I don't.
I do not think all Republicans are awesome.
Before we go off on a tangent here, where's Black Marcus's ass at? Here he is. Hey, can you do some damn work around here? No, we don't want you to talk. Get us a chair, please.
Oh, God, don't give him
Jesus,
the microphone.
Here
we
comes.
Just wanted a chair.
I'm an attorney. You don't have to put up with that.
I know that.
Is racism happening right now?
Lawsuit.
No.
You own these bastards.
I would, too, but unfortunately, you know, black guys don't win cases that much in the city. That's all.
But if your attorney...
That's because you got Democrat attorneys.
Hey. Oh,
if your attorney is black, that might help, right?
We've got Chris Spangle's fan club here, Abdul's got fan club here, and Marcus is still not getting us a chair.
We just need a tall chair.
This is a Hammer and Nigel debate highlight.
I f***ed off way too much.
And this has been a debate highlight from Hammer and Nigel.
X-103. Jesus Christ, BS, could that get a little louder?
I didn't even hear which one was that?
I
think it was the jerked off highlight.
Can the bartender get me more scotch?
We can do that.
Marcus?
What
the fuck?
Marcus!
Hey, a sexy white woman needs you. That got his attention pretty damn quick, didn't it?
Been there, done that.
Abdul, how the hell are you, my friend?
Oh, doing fine. I actually just came back from an Indiana chamber dinner. Got my picture with Woodward and Bernstein.
Oh, wow. Second Woodward and Bernstein reference in like 10 minutes. That's outstanding.
You never leave your house without a necktie, do you? It's tie or nothing, right? You're always in a suit.
I would try.
All right?
No, you guys just catch me at a weird time of night when I'm dressed up.
Yeah.
I almost wore sweatpants tonight.
I will tell you this. After the last month or so in politics, somebody asked me the other day, Abdul, do you miss your old job at the radio station? I was like, probably not as much as they miss me.
There you go. There you
Although
go.
Although getting calls from idiot listeners all morning long could probably get a bit tiresome, I would imagine.
It just turns into text messages.
Because you know there's always
Facebook posts.
Right.
There's always going to be that one person that says, well, if you don't like Obama, then you're a racist. And you're going to get that guy. It's going to happen either way. And
now he's running for the school board.
Ah, there we go. Now we're talking. Now, this big meeting thing that you were at tonight, give us some dirt out of this. What's coming out of this thing you were at tonight?
Oh, no, just the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. It's their annual dinner. So basically the political class and political establishment of Indiana.
You get together and they pat each other on the back.
All in the room. And we all say, no, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, stonecutters. Here's to running the state.
They burn a big giant tea in the yard later on.
Hey, I have a question. This is a dumb question. Probably a simple explanation. And why wasn't your guy, the Libertarian Gary Johnson, in the debates? Why was he invited in with
the
Obama?
The Republicans and the Democrats created the debate commission, so why would they let a third-party guy in?
But the third party's been in before, though.
Ross Perot had unlimited spending, and so he was able to
hit
the 15% threshold. There's a threshold in polling that you have to hit to get into the debates.
It was like having Joe Pesci's dad.
April, why wouldn't they let Gary Johnson in? Because I studied up a little bit on him. I don't know. I'm not extensive. I like his. I want everybody out of the Middle East. I want him gone. I want him out of there. And I know Obama or Romney, you know, they don't want that at all.
Right.
I don't know enough to really just spout off statistics and ideas. I know the national security for me is the most important part.
Right.
So April, why didn't they let him in? Do you concur with his?
I mean, I'm sure Chris has a more technical answer, but you know.
Give us the truth.
He's not going to win. So what's the freaking point?
Well, no. The thing is, though. No, but seriously, though, the problem is, the Presidential Debate Commission is a private organization, because if it was a government-sponsored organization, they would have to let him in. You can't necessarily discriminate, but because the Presidential Debate Commission is a private entity, they can pretty much do whatever they want. As opposed to the Indiana Debate Commission. Which their thing is, if you got ballot access and you hit a certain threshold, we let you in, which is how Rupert Bonham and Andy Horning both made it into the debates.
Right, and the polling, the problem with getting in, you can get in if you hit 15%, but they're not putting Gary Johnson in the polling. In North Carolina, they did a poll. A major polling company polled Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, and Honey Boo Boo. But they didn't include Gary Johnson. And Gary Johnson has automatic ballot access in 48 states.
How did Honey Boo Boo do in that? Just out of curiosity.
Honey Boo Boo
overwhelming victory.
Did you know that? Oh, she does.
Honey Boo Boo supports Obama?
She endorsed Obama.
Yes. Really?
All 3 feet and 600 pounds of her.
See, this is why the rest of the world hates America right now. It's not for the fact that, you know, we've got democracy and it's a big election coming up. It's we're talking about Honey Boo Boo and we're multiple days away from the rest of the world hates us
because we have a bad habit of picking our friends. The way my sister used to pick her boyfriends.
This is a Hammer and Nigel debate highlight.
Jesus, BS.
This is for working Americans, not for f**ks who don't need it.
And that too.
What the hell is going on over there, BS?
Who's running this show? Oh, Brad?
Yeah, now my mic's turned off.
Wow.
There we go.
That was fantastic.
Just write it out from this point forward.
What were we talking about? That Obama clip's hilarious.
Wow. Some days it's just fun to watch.
Big Boo Molly just walked in, by the way.
It's kind of like watching the Murdoch campaign right now. It's like watching a train wreck.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Now.
So they pick your friends. So people hate us because of our foreign policy.
People hate us because we keep getting in bed with third world dictators. And guess what? When the dictators die, we have no game plan. Afghanistan, here's a thought. You're going to fund the Mujahideen. You might want to build schools after you drive the Russians out. Otherwise, you get the Taliban. Iran, you get in bed with the Shah, he starts killing people, they overthrow him. Guess what? They're kind of mad at us.
Hey, I've seen Charlie Wilson's War.
April, have you ever been in bed with a Taliban member before?
Not recently.
Okay.
I just saw Argo, and they were protesting outside of the American embassy.
He only had $100, not $500.
And then they escaped to the Canadian embassy. Nobody was pissed at the Canadians, but they were at the
American. That's the Ben Affleck movie, right?
Yeah, it was really good.
All right, no.
Now, Ben Affleck is a terrible, terrible actor, though.
No,
so can we take anything out of that?
Apparently the movie was good.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I hear
five.
It was good.
That's something you guys could agree on.
There we go.
We go. We're building bridges here.
Yeah, you guys are going to be in bed together by the end of the night tonight.
I don't feel like he has $500.
You wish.
All right, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I've been looking at these maps, and depending on which map you look at, but trying to find the most neutral ones to look at for the presidential election coming up, it's going to come down to what? Ohio, Virginia, and Florida. Is that accurate or
Iowa?
Am I wrong?
No.
Well, no. There are technically 9 to 12 swing states, depending on how you do the math. The last polls I looked at today, the president was ahead in like 8. Mitt Romney had 3, and there were a couple more that were sort of up in the air. At the end of the day, the conventional wisdom is that he who walks away with Iowa will probably walk away with the entire thing.
And Obama's going to be there for the rest of the week, isn't he?
Now that
I thought I read that.
If you were to ask me today, the president ekes out a victory because this is 2004 all over again. He doesn't do as well as he did in 2008.
Hanging chads?
No hanging chads. No? Now okay. We all do things electronic voting machines. The math favors the president because he's got, if I can use Mr. Hammer's sports analogy, so.
Boom.
You know, he's sort of got an easier schedule than, say, like another team. They got, you know, you're playing Pittsburgh, you're playing New Orleans, you're playing these guys. It's not that you can't win, but you have a much tougher road to hoe as opposed to somebody who's playing, you know, the St. Louis Rams, you know, Detroit Lions.
Look at you, ripping them off, my friend.
So proud of myself. New sports.
The Indianapolis Colts, you know.
Very well done. Now, are we going to get an issue with, like, New Jersey and New York and the fact that they may not get a chance to get to the polls and not everybody that wants to vote is going to be able to get out due to the hurricane? Is this going to be a big deal here?
The problem is that there, in many of these states in their constitution, there is no prescription for voting after Election Day. It's in their constitution that it has to be on Election Day. And really, we're talking about precinct by precinct by precinct. We're not talking about an entire state. So what they'll do is they'll have paper ballots instead of the electronic ballots, and they'll do their best to make sure every vote's counted.
Or, depending on what their state law is, probably what you'll start seeing after this is a lot of states sort of have provisions that if you can't vote in one place, we'll let you go to what's called a vote center.
Where you don't necessarily
need to go to your polling place, but you can go to another one as long as we have you in the computer, you know, show your ID.
Right.
You can vote.
Now, April, being, you know, pretty much on the right side here, when Hurricane Sandy broke out, Mitt Romney was campaigning in a lot of these battleground states and suspended his campaign.
Right.
Is this going to be a huge effect on his campaign? Did the hurricane in many ways cost him a chance at this whole thing, you think?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
No.
Think he's still fine? Okay.
I think he's still
fine.
Feel
free to elaborate that, please?
No, a problem with a lot of the polling going on, there's so much polling going on, so many different polls, but a lot of the polling in like Ohio and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, the close battleground states right now, a lot of them are oversampling the Dems, and as if Dem turnout in 2012 is going to be more than 2008, and that's just not going to be possible. There will not be more Democrats voting for Obama in 2012 than in 2008.
Can I just show you here why I hate politics and why I read on the Drudge Report sometimes? And I get on there a lot. And here, look at that. Look at the headline here on the Drudge Report. This is what I hate about politics. This is the headline on a website that hundreds of millions of people go to every month. Look at that. What does that say, Hammer?
Quote, Obama left them behind, hungry, dumpster diving in New York City.
This headline on Drudge Report, Obama left them behind.
And there's a picture of some homeless dudes diving in a dumpster.
But here's the thing you have to remember about the news media business. And it's funny because I got a chance to do like a one-on-one interview with Woodward and Bernstein tonight. And they had the interesting observation. Well, 30, 40 years ago, you had basically 3 television networks, maybe a couple newspapers, and that was it. And so the news media had to appeal to the broadest audience possible to get the biggest rating share. Now with, you know, the advent of cable TV and the internet, you know, the market is so segmented that people tend to seek out news sources that justify their world point of view.
Yeah. Right.
Some people
love that dude, Rachel Maddow, on MSNBC.
Right?
I mean, that guy's got great, great points of view
sometimes. Yeah, but even, April, even you got to admit, that headline's a little salacious, right?
I mean, hilarious.
Right. It is crazy, but the flip side of that is Mitt Romney did donate money and his buses to these people to get them, and he physically was helping deliver water physically, you know, whereas Obama was sitting in the White House chilling, right?
But he's running a country, he doesn't have time to cook chicken sandwiches. No, in all due fairness, that's like George W. Bush. People send him down to go, you know, take sandbags and put them on a levee. That is not what the president is going to do. First of all, the Secret Service would go crazy and insane. So just like I argue it was unfair for people to say, well, why isn't George Bush down there filling sandbags? for the same reason George Herbert Walker Bush wasn't in Hurricane Andrew, Ronald Reagan wasn't in Lebanon in 1982 inspecting the embassy when 246 Marines got killed by an Arab terrorist.
Also, the same reason Abraham Lincoln didn't bayonet anybody.
Black Marcus is yelling something from the peanut gallery, and I couldn't make
something
it out.
Black
it
Marcus. Thank you for my drink, Black Marcus.
Abraham Lincoln never bayoneted anybody.
But he does kill vampires. Hunter. Thank you.
All right, you ready for this, Hammer? You
what
ready for
Big
this
Bird?
One? You want to hear these guys really argue? You ready for this one?
Bring it on.
Uh-oh.
You gonna, Chris, you gonna let that guy in Iran get a nuclear bomb?
Absolutely not.
They already got
I don't
one.
Give a crap.
So
you don't give a crap.
Wait, you're
so by
let
not
him?
Giving a crap, you're gonna be okay with him
nope,
getting it.
Let her go. No, here's why I say that. I would rather let Iran get a nuclear weapon than to have a third major ground war in the Middle East. That's the choice. The choice is either start to attack another country with bombs, escalate it over a period of a couple years, and then end up with ground troops and a major land war in a country that is, you take the population and the land size of Afghanistan and Iraq, and it's just not even close. This is a developed country. This is a country with a middle class that loves America. The biggest protest against 9/11 was in Iran.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't even know they were allowed to protest in Iran.
After 9/11, there was a huge protest in support of the United States. It's a very developed country. And if you start attacking them...
It was a very modern country and very cosmopolitan before the Shah took
over,
right? They ousted the... Help me. Who's the Shah? Did he get
They elected in the 50s a Democratic president.
Yeah.
We overthrew because he took the oil rights back for his country.
Yeah,
he nationalized oil, so they overthrew him, instituted the Shah of Iran, who spent all of the country's money, and then they had the overthrown dictator.
Yeah, at one point, it was a very cosmopolitan, very modern country for that time. Right?
But what you have to understand is that, you know, when you look at the map and that part, look at the map and that part of the world. I mean, first of all, the mountains. That if I'm the Iranians, do you know where I have, you know, dug my fusion reactors? Do you know the massive strike that you are going to have to do, you know, to get there? And maybe if we didn't spend so much time and energy on damn fool errands like Iraq, no offense, we wouldn't have this problem right now. But what presidential candidate is going to tell a very war weary nation that's kind of sick and tired of it? Yeah. We're about to go start another one. That ain't gonna happen.
April, you buy that?
What? I mean, I'm not for them getting a nuclear, and this is why I can't be a libertarian. I'm not for them getting a nuclear weapon.
No, I'm not for them getting a nuclear weapon either.
They probably already have.
I am not willing to commit young men and women to another war because the choice is, do you want another war in the Middle East, or do you want Iran to have a nuclear weapon?
What are you worried about once say they do have a nuclear weapon? What are you worried about after that? Are you worried about them launching it? Are you?
I mean, they're just not going to sit there and look at it. I mean,
well, no, they don't.
Hundreds of military bases surrounding the borders of Iran, right?
The way that you stop the Iranians from developing a nuclear bomb is you basically shut down their economy more than they already do. Iran is an oil exporter, but they do not have the capacity to refine their own oil, which is why they have gas shortages. Ironically, even though they're sitting on mountains and mountains.
Boy, that is ironic.
You know, of oil.
Wow.
Here's the thing. You do a blockade, they can't ship the oil out, their economy collapses. They've been having like a currency run, you know, that's been driving up prices and almost sort of having hyperinflation. So the way you go after the Iranians is you basically shut down their economy.
Let me ask you guys this. Speaking of oil, each election year, you always hear the outcry that the United States should pump their own oil. Drill, baby, drill, whatever you want to think about. Why is that a bad or a good idea? And April, I want to start with you.
It's an amazing idea. Drill, baby, drill is my favorite saying ever.
I kind of like
pipelines. I love pipelines.
Boy,
I've got a pipeline in my pants right now.
I kind of like drill, baby, drill. I don't mind it.
Well, here's the problem with drill, baby, drill. Slogans sound good. Okay, where are you going to build the oil platform? Whose backyard are you going to put it in?
Somebody in Texas, right?
I'm from Chicago. If you drive down Chicago down I-55 going towards St. Louis, there's a big, giant, huge refinery in Joliet, Illinois. Have any of you ever lived near an oil refinery?
No, sir.
And there's a reason why you don't live near an oil refinery, because nobody wants that in their backyard. The problem is, if you're going to drill, you got to have a place to refine it. Actually, we're an oil exporter, believe it or not, because we have vehicles that actually get better gas mileage than we did 30, 40 years ago.
See, I think, though, if you promised everybody, and again, promises made to be broken. But if you told everybody, look, gas prices are going to go down substantially, but we need to put this up in the neighborhood, I don't think the outcry would be that bad, to be honest.
The problem is that oil...
We need to drill our own oil. It's absurd that we don't.
The problem is that oil is a finite resource, and that when you start drilling here in America...
I like how you hold the microphone, by the way, like you're European with your pinky sticking out.
Oil is a finite...
Like you're drinking a pink drink.
Is a
You've
finite
got some great
resource.
Poupon sitting on the side.
And we could choose to drill for cheaper gas prices 10 years from now and rob our great-great-grandchildren of a resource that they're going to need when we hit peak oil in the next 50 to 100 years, because it is a finite resource. Instead, we need to enable the free market to build alternative energy sources, to go in and create... ways to save oil.
I say screw the grandkids. There won't be grandkids if I can't drive that booty call across the street and make one.
Actually, we sit on more natural gas in this country, you know, than the Saudi Arabians sit on oil.
Yeah, I can't wait for that Matt Damon movie to come out, right?
I mean, part of the reason why people won't necessarily go drill for it because it's so cheap. I mean, if we did natural gas in this country, half our energy problems would be taken care of.
Look, I just want... you know what? My big concern, it's not the economy. It's not... Like, I have a job. I work hard at my job. I see other people working hard at their jobs. And my big concern... And one reason I don't like Gary Johnson is because he wants to cut funding for military. I'm all for spending money on defense and military. I'm just not for spending it over in the Middle East and keeping our troops over there.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm also in favor of spending money on the Hammer and Nigel show, which Jason Hess of Keller Williams Realty does.
Yeah,
if you need a great realtor, Jason Hess of Keller Williams Realty is the guy to call. He's bald. He's bold.
Your house is sold.
With Jason Hess of Keller Williams Realty.
Thank you, Jason. And of course,
our good friend Wendy Chanel Hall. Fantastic charcoal art. Look for drawing attention. If you're looking for a very neat gift for the holidays, if you know somebody that loves music or sports or whatever, a rock and roll charcoal art photo from Wendy is kind of an out-of-the-box gift idea. Fantastic. Information is online at hammerandnigel.com.
Back to military.
We're talking politics. We got Chris Spangle here. We got Abdul here. We got April D. Gregory here. Chris Spangle, the floor is yours, talking about politics.
Well, you said that you want to withdraw our military. We're currently in 172 places around the world. And you want less intervention in foreign affairs.
Yes.
That's going to cost less money. Secondly, the reason we need to cut military spending is because there are a lot of projects that we spend money on that are pet projects of congressmen that don't want to cut jobs in their district.
Yep.
These are weapons that we just don't need in the 21st century. We have different ways of waging war, and we don't need as many tanks and as many heavy armored vehicles and airplanes, frankly, but we still continue to spend that money on them because congressmen want that
Castles weapons of ass destruction, by the way.
Yes, you do.
That's why we're sitting on a mountain of natural gas.
White Castle is amazing.
Thank you, April. I see countries like China, even though we outspend China by like four times, they're spending money on...
White Castle is amazeballs, Nigel.
Don't say amazeballs.
See, but here's the thing, though.
Don't say amazeballs.
You see, I will argue the China threat is grossly overrated.
Really?
Yeah, the China threat is grossly overrated. Anybody who has ever done their homework, take a look at the Chinese economy. They're about to be in worse shape than us.
What?
Yes. I know this may sound...
I thought we owed them a bunch of money.
No, actually, you know who the biggest holders of our United States debt is?
Who's that? It's us.
We are the biggest holders of our own debt. It's basically like you borrowing from next week's paycheck. We are the biggest holders of our debt, followed by the British, followed by the Japanese, then followed by the Chinese.
So are you telling me the Chinese are overrated? That's what we're hearing tonight?
Yes, they are grossly overrated.
Really?
The Chinese are the Oregon Ducks of world power.
Here's the Chinese problem. The Chinese business model does not work. There was a report in The Economist not too long ago where they looked at the Chinese steel industry. It is so inefficient. It is so ass backwards.
I don't know.
They're grossly overbuilt.
Yeah, but they're spending money hand over fist on their military. Actually, you know what scares me about China is that like they don't give a shit about their people. They're communists.
Yep.
All right? They start a war with us. They don't care how many people die. They don't care how many people
they're becoming more capitalistic because they need to sell their goods to America. They are on the verge of their version of the Industrial Revolution. They're 100 years behind us. They face a lot of social unrest. They have to sell their goods to America to feed their citizens. And the problem for us is when they realize they have enough of a middle class to sell their goods to and they don't need us anymore.
Speaking of citizens, April, do you know a Jeffrey Bennett?
No.
because I posted a photo of the game on our Twitter page at Hammer and Nigel.
Oh yeah.
And I said we've got the political preview going on. Jeffrey Bennett writes dibs on April.
Oh, okay. Well, I
called it. I have to check this out.
And per the rules of streets, growing up, he called it. So
I take great offense to that.
Yeah, Chris was here first.
Yeah,
Chris was here first.
All right, let's talk about some of these races coming up here. And Ernie, our buddy Ernie from Circle City Transportation, I know he wants to jump in some of this conversation tonight because some of this stuff is right in his wheelhouse. Let's start with the governor race. Obviously, there's the guy that looks like Scott Swan from THR. There's the guy that looks like Andy Reid of the Eagles. And there's the guy that looks like Rupert from Survivor. So,
oh, wait, that is Rupert from Survivor.
Oh, wait, yeah, it is. Stole that joke from Paul Poteet, by the way.
That's pretty good. That's funny.
That's Paul Poteet at his absolute best. Ernie, you lean to the right. Is that correct?
I am so far to the right that I make Abdul look like a liberal.
This is why you're my cab driver. I mean, my limo driver.
And I wear that as a badge of honor.
So okay. What's your biggest concern heading into this election?
Right now, my biggest I'm not too concerned about the presidential race in Indiana. I still think Romney's going to squeak it out nationally. I don't think it's going to be a huge landslide, but I think he's going to kick Obama's ass.
Okay.
That's number one.
It's going to be a landslide, but an ass-kicking at the same time.
You know, if you beat Obama, you kicked his ass.
All right. Okay. All right.
As far as the governor's race, I think it's slam dunk.
Mike Pence, right?
Yeah, by Pence, yeah. I mean...
Now, since you lean really far to the right, you mentioned earlier. What do you think about this Richard Murdoch character?
I was going
to
bring that up, okay? Half of us in this room know Richard Murdoch, okay? And we know that he's a good man. He's not just a good man. He's a great man, okay?
Right. And I agree with what Nigel said earlier. He just came out wrong.
He's a very honest man. Now, should he have said, I'm pro-life and shut up? Yes, that's exactly what he should have did. But he didn't. And the biggest issue that the folks have with what he said is the fact that a man said it. That's it, okay? Women don't like to hear men say, I'm pro-life. I'm against abortion.
You agree with that, April?
I agree with that.
Okay.
And I was sitting in my office the other day, and a friend of my wife's came in, and she goes, I want to talk to you about Dick Murdoch because I know you know him. And I said, okay. And it was like a day after. And she goes, I tend to agree with him. Okay? And she goes, but tell me more about it. I said, Dick Murdoch should have said, I'm pro-life and shut up. And he didn't. What he did was express the opinion that most of us have, that we're pro-life and abortion's wrong in any situation. And I'm a guy with a 34-year-old daughter and granddaughters. And I'm telling you right now, my daughter knows my opinion and she shares my opinion as well as most of the women I know.
Before we take this phone call here, Chris Spangle, I'm going to give you a chance to respond a little bit of that. You're the libertarian of this group here, so you're not exactly on the same team as the right, but you've got enough of a balance in between that you, I think, can make a fair point.
Yeah, we take from both sides as far as what we believe. I mean, on civil liberties and on anti-war issues, we're left of Obama, and on fiscal issues, we're left of Republicans. Abortion is one of those issues that there is no agreement within the Libertarian Party. We're 50-50 pro-life, pro-choice. And
you're for individual freedoms. Individual freedoms mean, right. Sorry, abortion is...
It's an individual freedom.
Plain fact is that on the federal level especially, nothing fundamentally will change. It is an issue that stirs up a lot of emotion and is good for fundraising.
I hate it.
And so they use it to divide people and to fearmonger.
But nothing's going to change. That's basically what you're telling
us. No. I mean, there will be tweaks in state legislatures, but not on the federal
level. BS, I believe we got a call right here at the Coach's Tavern hotline.
Hello?
Hello, hello.
Oh, boy, here we go. Damn it.
BS is there? Frantically.
There
we go.
There he is.
Hey, we can hear you. Hello.
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead, my friend.
I just want to call and say hello. How are you guys doing?
Is this Tom?
This is Tom.
Oh, hey. I didn't hear an F-bomb come from you, so I didn't know if it was you or not.
This is the owner and operator of Coach's Tavern along with, well, I should say co-owner, right? Adam Eisenberg is behind the bar.
How's Florida treating you, Tom?
You know, it's pretty awful right there. You know, it's about 21 degrees and warm. I'm in shorts and T-shirt. How you guys doing?
Awful. We just suddenly don't like you.
I'm sitting here next to a beautiful, beautiful woman with a low-cut shirt on and then Nigel. So, you know, half of me's doing great.
The right half.
Is that Big Boob Molly?
No, no. Big Boob Molly is here, but we've got the lovely, the talented April D. Gregory in the house with us tonight. And we'll post some photos online, Tom, and you will approve of the shirt because I've been approving of it all night long.
Hey, Tom, Tom, who are you voting for next week? Are you voting?
I already voted. I voted before I left.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Can you share, or is that like throwing a penny into a fountain? It's bad luck if you tell us early.
No, I just do it just in case I forget, so.
What do you say?
He does it in case he forgets on the day of.
All right.
I will notice that in your windows here at the establishment, the fine establishment, you have signs for AJ Feeney Ruiz and Carlos May, which are two of my absolute favorites running right now here locally right downtown. So.
All righty. You've got the support of Hot April, Tom. How does that make you feel?
This April chick's okay. I like her.
All of a sudden, we've got some romantic music that's kicked on in the background. Is this Careless Whisper by Wham?
It just got weird in here.
April, are you singing?
All right. April, Tom, just touched my thigh.
No, I like that, you fucking pervert.
All righty. Well,
is that coming from art?
No, it's the bar.
Big Boob Molly's dancing with a drunk Matt down here all of a sudden. All righty. Well, Tom, hey, have fun for us. Drink some shots for us and... we are not in here next week due to the Colts game, but we'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
All right, see you, brother. Tom Sutton, co-owner of this fantastic bar, Coach's Tavern. It's been a weird technical night tonight.
I've had fun. This is like political talk for dummies. I've enjoyed it. I really like having you guys. I feel like I should talk about
tug jobs or something to relate to your audience.
When the Wham came on, I was about to disappear in the back here, and you guys talk amongst yourself here. April and I will be back.
Whoa.
All right. Yeah. Let's go race by race here, because we're getting close to the end of the show here. As George Michael pelts out song lyrics in the background.
Just never know what's going to happen here at the Hamlin and Nigel show.
All right, let's start with Superintendent, because you've got this Tony Bennett guy, and I've seen his commercials where he's walking through the halls of like a high school, high-fiving the kids, and the kids seem to be responding.
Tony Bennett?
I don't know Tony Bennett, but I find that hard to believe.
Actually, I've known Tony for like 4 or 5 years now. Bennett's a good guy. He'll be a good superintendent of public instruction. Glenda Ritz is basically, for all intents and purposes, teachers union automaton. Woman is like, no plans for education. I mean, everything she said is like, no, we don't want reform. No, we don't want accountability. As I jokingly say, and I, although I have my biases, in that race, my judgment tends to get the better of me. I can't wait for the voters of Indiana to basically do a Wizard of Oz and drop a house on her on Election Day.
Wow.
Hey, April, is that going to go down like that?
It's going to go down like that. I mean, we started a good thing a couple years ago with the school choice going on in the State House, and Tony Bennett was a huge part of that, and I think bringing more choice to parents and children is a great thing.
So when he walks through the halls of high schools, high school teens are high-fiving this guy.
Well, Tony used to be a high school superintendent and a principal.
Right, but if my high school superintendent and principal walk down the hallway, I'm not high-fiving him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you're a nerdy
kid, he's a pretty cool guy. He'll drink a beer with you.
All right, so are we all in agreement Tony Bennett wins this thing?
He's the only one who's run a campaign.
Okay, let's go to Attorney General. You've got Greg Zeller and Kay Fleming.
Over, done with? Save your time.
Yeah,
that never really happened.
Hated it.
Okay. For record's sake, who's the winner?
Greg Zeller.
Okay. Let's go to the U.S. Representative District 7. You've got Andre Carson against Carlos May. Ernie, I'm going to go ahead and let you jump on the mic here, my friend.
Andre is one of my favorite people in this town.
How
blunt can I be on this?
I mean,
you can be as blunt as you want, my friend.
How is Andre Carson supporter and a Richard Marks? That's not even fathomable.
Andre Carson is the dumbest guy that ever walked the streets of Indianapolis. And how in the hell he got his ass into Washington, D.C. is a shock to me and always will be. The guy, he's stupid. He's dumb. I mean, honestly, he doesn't have a thought in his head. If you get in a conversation with him, it's all talking points.
Yeah.
He has never made a conscious decision on his own.
Literally, if you think of the 400. If you think of every single legislator, Congress, House, Senate, whatever, in D.C., he's in my top five worst. He's absolutely useless.
He's in his top
one. He's negative useless. He's awful.
Well, see, but here's the problem.
I want to tell you right now, the janitors in the Congress are smarter than Andre Carson.
Yeah, you see, but here's the one thing, though, that he's been able to do. It's called win.
He's Tim Tebow. Everybody knows that he sucks, but he keeps winning, right?
You may not like the guy, but Andre has won. The challenge for Carlos is going to be in this new 7th congressional district. There is a path to victory for Carlos May. I did the analysis. I was the one who wrote about it. Mitch Daniels won the new 7th congressional district. Greg Ballard won the new 7th congressional district. However, they both had millions of dollars and they had a hell of an organization. Republicans have not yet come to the realization that the 7th district is winnable. I don't think they'll be able to win in a presidential year. I think their best shot to win is in the midterm election. And if the president is reelected, usually in the 6th year of a presidential term, that'll be the Republicans' best shot to win the 7th.
So if I'm going up to the Bellagio Sportsbook in Las Vegas, where I was just a couple weeks ago, and you could actually bet on this, not talking about who's the better person or who's the smarter, who's going to win this electional race? Who's going to win this? April, let me start with you.
Carlos is seriously one of my favorite people. Unfortunately, he's probably not going to win. Maybe 2 years from now he could.
Okay. Mr. Spangle, you on board with that?
I would agree with Abdul's assessment.
And Ernie?
And April.
Ernie.
Well, I have my opinion on that, too. When they came out with the redistricting, I sat down. I saw it the night before it went public, and I sat down and analyzed it. And at that time, there was a huge shift in the Democrat versus the Republican population in Indianapolis. As 2 or 3 point spread was all the Republicans had to pull out. And if the Democrats don't turn out the votes for Obama, Andre's in trouble because he's not going to turn out enough people on his own.
Well, let me give you guys
so
a little bit.
I would say it's even right now. I wouldn't go either way. But if there was ever anybody who had a chance of beating Andre Carson, Carlos Mays, is in the seat right now.
The thing about the 7th Congressional District, what people have to remember is the 7th Congressional District is in a city. The way you run in a city is you get a different type of candidate than if you have a candidate in the suburbs, if you have a candidate out in the country. People in the city want to make sure they want – people in the city are more about fiscal issues, not necessarily social issues, which is why the Republicans played it smart by nominating somebody like a Carlos May as opposed to a – can I say batshit crazy?
Absolutely.
A Marvin Scott. The most useless candidate that I have ever seen in my entire life. Carlos May is a much better fit for the 7th than someone like a Marvin Scott.
I love this. I like having people on here that know what they're talking about.
And they're passionate about it.
Carlos is a great candidate to be able to beat Andre. Unfortunately, again, I don't think the Republican Party has
what I love about Carlos May is that when we had our fetish model in here, the Lady Loren, when she was spanking Drunk Matt and our friend Beaver, you could see May's campaign sign in the background of that famous video.
Is that Beaver right there in the house?
No, that's Michael, right. But that is Drunk Matt.
Beaver's not here, unfortunately.
But you know, Michael's pissed off that you thought he was
really,
Beaver.
Excuse me, Mr. Carlos, Beaver. If you're downtown, vote for Carlos. He is awesome.
Okay.
And his sign is in this establishment. So.
The ever-popular Senate race. Andy Horning, Joe Donnelly, Richard Murdoch. Let's go around the horn. Abdul, let's start with you. Who's going to win this thing?
We'll have a better idea in the morning when some new independent polling data comes out. But if you were to ask me today, the odds favor Joe Donnelly.
And would you have said this 2 weeks ago?
No. Up until last Monday at about 7:45, I thought the race was basically Richard Murdoch's to lose, probably by about 5 points. And then Richard went and made his rather awkward comments about abortion and rape and God's will. And then he made the other crucial mistake of trying to explain it the next day. And all he did when he tried to explain it the next day was make it worse.
Right.
Doing the hand gestures in the interview, it probably didn't help either.
I basically sat there for 15 minutes. Here's all Richard Murdoch had to do the next day. And it was the setup was perfect. As somebody who's been in politics for more than 20 years now, everything was right for him to fix. He could have just woke out of that morning and said, hey, you know what? I couldn't sleep last night. I can't believe what I said. It was offensive to anyone who's ever been a rape victim, a survivor of rape. Please accept my deepest apologies. I am pro-life. I believe in the sanctity of life. I believe that even a child that is conceived in violence can still be raised, you know, with love. know, please forgive me and shut the fuck up and stop talking.
Instead,
that's all you had to do.
Instead, he gave a meandering answer again for the third time, and he cried while doing it again.
Oh, so he cried.
All through the
and
press
then
conference.
Their campaign had the audacity.
You crying?
And then their campaign had the audacity and the unmitigated gall to get mad at Mike Pence, who was actually running a very disciplined campaign, because Mike knows when to stop talking and say the Pence people are throwing us under the bus. No, if the Murdoch people lose, and I'm not saying that they will, they still have a slight chance of victory, but don't blame anybody else, blame the candidate. And it's not like you haven't been prepped on this question. It's abortion.
Right.
Hi, yeah. Have we met?
April, I'm going to give you the last word on this. Defend your boy. Defend your right-winger, Mr. Murdoch here. Come to his rescue.
No,
bail him out.
Obviously, he should have stopped. I think at the end of the day, where Indiana is a state where we do like to cross over and vote different than just straight ticket. I'm still going to hang out and say no with Pence and Mitt Romney. They're going to win by a lot here in Indiana. I think that enough people won't cross over and vote for Donnelly.
Right.
But I think I'm going to go with Murdoch for just barely squeaking it out.
Let's go to the governor's race here quickly. It's basically over, right? Mike Pence
it's
is going
done.
To win
it's
this
been
by
done
a landslide, correct?
Done. It's been
that
done
that race was over from day one.
Day one, it's been done.
Let me just ask you this, Chris. Are you at least impressed with the way that Rupert came off during this whole thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the Libertarian Party to have a candidate who has basically worked 7 days a week for a year, who can pull in a line of people who will wait 20 minutes to stand and talk to him, and in that 20 minutes, we're able to give them literature about what the party believes in, our other candidates, what he believes in. I think you're going to see a really strong showing for Rupert because of that hard work, and we're all incredibly grateful for the work that he's put in.
And Nigel, you and I have talked about this in the past. When the debate started, the governor's debate, you didn't know really what to expect from Rupert. You didn't know how he would come off, but I think, honestly,
you did well.
You did really well, I thought.
I mean, I got a call from a guy yesterday who had never heard of Rupert ever. Until the debates. And he said, the guy came across incredibly sincere. I'm on disability. I want to get off of disability. And I've never heard a politician who actually talked directly to me before. And Rupert was that guy. I mean, that's exactly what we're looking for as a party.
How do you get your boy in the seat then? They did it in Minnesota with Ventura, right? How do we do it? How do you do it here?
I think you're going to see really impressive numbers for Rupert.
If it's
up.
A big voter turnout, does that favor one person more than the other?
Libertarians typically like less voter turnout, but this new poll that Abdul was talking about today.
You need three people to come out and vote, and Rupert needs to be one of them.
The poll that they put out, it shows that Rupert's pulling more votes from John Gregg, so we actually maybe want to hire a nice day so we get more voter turnout.
Okay.
No, I think Rupert's done great for the Libertarian Party and their message. If we can just go down one step further to the state house race right here in this district 97,
mm-hmm.
AJ Feeney Ruiz is running against Justin Moed. It's an open seat for right here in.
I get tons of mail from Justin Moed, and I have no idea who the hell he is.
Justin Moed was Pat Bauer's right hand man, and if you're not a fan of Democrats leaving and going to Illinois for 2 months instead of doing
now,
their
Pat
job.
Now Pat Bauer was the fat bastard with the toupee, right?
Absolutely, he's that fat bastard with the toupee, the little price tag hanging off.
Okay.
That's why we were here the last time, because they've
right,
gone to
Illinois. And it's with a new district, and AJ's a pretty moderate guy. He's a pretty cool guy. He's a pretty awesome guy. It's a good opportunity in this district where if you're not for the status quo and for the political bullshit that's going on right now in the state house and all that, and you probably don't want to vote for Justin Moed, then who orchestrated a lot of this political bullshit?
Abdul, you chased a lot of these people down back when
this
happened, right?
I've known AJ for years. I've known Justin for years. They're both good, decent individuals. I mean, character, they're both decent guys. The thing is, particularly in this district, I think this will be impacted by the straight ticket voting. Now, do the Marion County Democrats come out in droves or do they stay home? The data I've looked at so far with respect to early voting, Democrats are about 40-41% of the early votes, Republicans about 20%. The other 30% are undecided. People who didn't pull a D or R ballot in the last primary, so we don't necessarily know who those folks are. If they come out strong and in favor of somebody like, you know, an AJ Feeney-Reese, then he'll do well. If the Democrats, this is still Marion County, where Democrats have a 10-point straight-ticketed voting advantage, It's for Justin. Now, Republicans can win. Mitch Daniels and Greg Ballard have demonstrated that. You need the right kind of Republican to do it. A.J. Feeney-Reeds fits that moderate conservative profile for this type of district.
Correct.
Before we move on to the final, the grand banana here, the presidential election.
Can I get another Jack and Diet? Where's the helm?
Black Marcus, we need a Jack and Diet up here.
Wow, there you go, April.
Freaking called him out.
Yeah, that's the loudest you've been all night. I like it.
You're adorable.
Ernie, before we move on to the presidential race here, any closing thoughts on the local races we've got coming up? Anything that you really want to get out there or concerned about?
My only concern is I'd like people to really stop and think about what Murdoch said. The man answered honestly. He answered from his heart. And he answered honestly, which is a whole lot more than Joe Donnelly's done.
Ernie, I agree with you, because
Donnelly has a son, Joe Jr., who's disappeared off the maps. Absolutely disappeared off the maps. Abdul knows what I'm talking about because he's read it.
You see, but here's the thing, though. If Republicans go down the road of attacking family members...
I'm not attacking
member. I'm just saying. You run a very dangerous risk.
I am not going to...
I'm not saying you, but I've gotten all these emails about where's Joe Jr.? You run a very dangerous risk of attacking family members, and if you don't think going across the line has dangerous consequences... And go back to Bros McVeigh in 2002.
I'm
not attacking Joe Jr. because Joe Jr. is Joe Jr. regardless of what's going on in his life.
Did he like kill a hooker or something?
I'm attacking a father who seems to forget that he has a son. For whatever reason, he chooses to forget that, which we both know what it is. And that's absolute disgrace. When asked about it in public, the man won't talk about it. Richard Murdoch was answering a question, and not only did he answer it, but he took it too far. Okay? So, you know... Look at the man and look at the character of the two.
You know Murdoch. I know Murdoch. If you know the man, you know this. You know his character. It's very refreshing to finally get somebody who's running for office who's not a calculated political hack. He's not.
Richard Murdoch has run for office almost 9 times, 10 times.
Yes, we know he's run for office. How many? Yes, we know that.
I mean, he's at every political event. At what point do you go?
He looks like the kind of guy that you see closing down the Holiday Inn bar.
Yeah, but so many people are sick of politicians.
Murdoch is one of three men that had the balls to stand up to Obama and tell him that he was stealing money from the residents in Indianapolis, in Indiana. He was one of the three nationwide to do that.
Well, actually, Richard Murdoch was about $2 million away from agreeing with the settlement, is what it was.
That's not the point. Actually, it is.
I mean, if you're going to sit there, my good friend Eric Bradner of the Evansville Courier Press said that it did an extensive story that they were $2 million away from being on board with the Obama administration settlement.
Black Marcus, get the oil. These guys are going to wrestle.
It's like the damn Sahara over here, Marcus.
All right, presidential race. I got to go.
Big Boo Molly, get your card.
Nigel over here.
Nigel's got to pee because he's got the bladder of a 65-year-old old man.
He's drinking. He's drinking water.
So let's get to the presidential race here. What does Mitt Romney have to do to win this? Abdul, I'm going to start with you.
Get more votes.
Basically, yeah.
Yes.
You got to win Ohio, you got to win Virginia, and you got to win Florida.
That's it?
You win those three, you win the presidency.
Then you take over the Greek Council, and then you run shit like Revenge of the Nerds, right?
It's like when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
I personally think it comes down to Ohio, and I think we could be looking at a race where you might have Barack Obama win the popular vote, but Mitt Romney wins the Electoral College, or vice versa. And I think it's going to be a nail-biter. I don't think it's going to be a landslide.
It's just one of these deals where we're not going to know who won when we wake up the next day.
I think it's going to be a landslide. I think if you look at the three states Abdul mentioned, Florida, Virginia, and Ohio, Florida and Virginia are already solidly Romney. Romney's already moved out of Florida. Ohio, they have the huge Senate race going on there, Josh Mandel against Sherrod Brown, and it's carrying the momentum for Romney, and they're way oversampling Ohio in the polls. Mitt Romney is going to win Ohio.
It might be
Mark
a landslide.
How confident are you?
I'll buy everybody here a drink if everybody right here on this table.
That.
A
I like
drink
that.
If BS Romney Mark does not tape. Win Ohio.
Mark
He's winning
tape.
Ohio.
Abdul?
No, my money is that
Obama.
The president wins. It's a smaller majority than he did in 2008. He has more ways to get to 270 votes. I was looking at the polling data today, and this is not polling data that was based on 2008 numbers. This is polling data that has been based on 2010 turnout. I always find it interesting. I love my Republican friends to death, but you can't bitch and complain about the polls when they favor the other guy, but not bitch and complain about the polls when they favor you. I mean, that's...
Same question about presidential debate before we wrap up here tonight. If there's a big turnout, or a small turnout? Who does that favor either way?
It just depends on the makeup of the electorate.
I personally think that it's if it's raining that morning, and that means that it's going to be a low turnout, Democrats usually rely more on busing to the polls, getting public transportation to the polls. And so if it's a low turnout, that helps Romney. If it's a high turnout, that helps Barack Obama. I personally think Barack Obama is going to maintain the office.
April D. Gregory, before we get out of here tonight, where can we find your work at? Where can we follow you and do all that kind of fun stuff?
You got like 10,000 followers.
10,000.
You're kind of a big deal, aren't you?
Yeah, big deal. You can follow me on Twitter at April D. Gregory. You can find me working at misfitpolitics.co, misfitpolitics.co.
Okay, and we've got that information on our website, hammerandnigel.com.
Abdul, we got to get you back on the radio, man.
Absolutely.
Actually, this is going to sound really weird. Jason Hammer, you'll appreciate this. On November 19th, I will be guest hosting the Amos Brown Show.
Amos?
Yeah.
You guys kiss and made up?
It's amazing what happens when you bring a $500 check to charity and say, I'll give it if Amos Brown lets me host his radio show.
Aha. Very well played, my friend.
Thank you. No, you can find my work at indiepolitics.org. Also, indiepolitics.org is our Twitter feed. I write a column for The Star, write for Nuvo, also write for The State House File. I'm on RTV6. I'm all over the place.
So you're kind of a big deal, too.
I am a media whore, which means I get paid for what I do, as opposed to some of the bloggers in town who are media sluts. They just do it for free. Gary Walsh, Paul Ogden.
There you go. Name names.
Not to name any names.
Naming names here tonight.
Wow.
Nobody is shorting Abdul on the $500.
Chris Spangle, where can we find you, my friend?
I'm an absolute nobody, but you can find me at Chris Spangle. It's like the Star Spangled Banner, but that's the D.
You're the biggest man in the Libertarian Party. That's, you run that damn thing.
Yeah, man, you're informed. You're not a nobody.
That's right.
I enjoyed the night. This
and
is
I'm,
like a
I'm going to get more followers because I'm going to put April's face on my Twitter.
There you
feed.
Go. There.
By the way, is it cool if we play some of this back on X103 this weekend for the Hammer and Nigel show?
Absolutely. All right, yeah. I like it.
Ernie, my man, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're at Circle City Transportation still. Got that beautiful limousine parked outside.
My awesome limo driver, Circle City Transportation.
Last time I saw Ernie, he had his chicken limo parked outside of Democratic Party headquarters here in town.
I got to give you credit for that one.
With a big sign that says, where's Andre and why
is he afraid? I'll give you props for the chicken limo. Just don't belly bump Ed Tracy. Hey.
All right, we got to get out of here. Happy voting, everybody. And
go
we
vote.
Will talk to you this weekend on the Hammer and Nigel Show on X103. Good night.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, a product of Dead Radio Entertainment.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.